Good morning, good morning. How's everybody? Merry Christmas. Hey, can y'all say Merry Christmas back?
Merry Christmas!
Happy New Year!
And a Happy New Year, that's right. Lynn?
Because God gave His gift to us.
That's right. He gave us the most wonderful gift in the world. And that's the gift of His Son. Who was born in Bethlehem? Jesus, that's right. That's right. Now, I'm going to... Oh, Jackson, you want to help me out today?
Sure.
Okay. Got a pen here. Jackson, I want to give you this pen. Okay?
Okay.
Would you like to have it?
Yes,
I do. All right, I'm telling you, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to hand it to you. And what do you got to do before it can be your pen? I can tell you all day, I can stand over here, I can sing to you and say, oh, Jackson, I'm going to give you this pen. You got to receive it. You got to take it from me. Okay? All right. Verse I want to read to you today comes from Romans chapter 6. It says, listen closely. What we ought to get paid for our sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When Jesus came and was born in this earth, this began God's gift to us. His gift of being able to be with Him forever. And when we ask Jesus to come into our lives, we're receiving the gift that God is offering to us. You don't have to take it, do you? No, you don't have to take it. It's a free gift. And so when God offers it, we receive it. Because the Bible says, to as many as received Him, to those He gave the power to become the sons of God. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for these precious children. I pray Your blessing on them. Lord, I pray in their tender hearts, Lord, that each one of them will indeed receive You, the wonderful gift, the best gift of all time, into their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty, it's time to go to Kids Zone. Well, good morning to you.
Good morning.
It's so good to see you today. We welcome you. I want to thank all of you that have participated in and have helped us with all the things that have happened this month. The live nativity, our plays. Oh, boy, those plays just knocked it out the ballpark. Really got us, I believe, in a spirit to really worship during this time and keep the main thing the main thing. Then our communion on Christmas Eve. Could you just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here in this place? There's very little room for other agendas here that night as we worship the Lord. Today, this might be more for me than it is for you today. But I've been trying to imagine what it was like when... You know what she told me today before I came in? Now she's a little rusty. Your mom's here. We're glad to have you, by the way. And she said, no big words today. Yeah, you can go ahead and clap. We're glad to have her. Turn around and look. Turn around and look so you can see them clapping. What'd she say?
I didn't see. I'm here for to visit my family, and I'm enjoying Christmas here.
We're glad to have you. So no big words. I said, how about supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? What'd you do? What kind of church is this? crazy preacher. I've been trying to imagine the world in which Jesus came. Now think about the life that he brought and what changed in the world 2,000 years ago when he came. It was a dark place. Very dark. Let me give you just a little overview of what it was like. Hellenistic thought, Greek thought, had taken over the known world at that time. Most of the world was ruled by that. And though we can fantasize today about, in our Western Civ classes, about how wonderful Hellenistic thought was, the Greek worship of their pantheon of gods and all the things that, no, for the most part, what they worshiped was man. And they worshiped themselves. Had very little room for God. The Romans ruled the world with an iron hand. They simply just... Rome didn't invent too much, but Rome did make everything that they adopted better by man's standards. They ruled with an iron hand. They were all over the world. The roads, they had the Pax Romana, the 200 years of peace, of Rome peace, and those roads were built all over the known world. What the Romans didn't know at the time is what they were really building those roads for is for missionaries to take the gospel to the known world. Rome had an iron hand in Palestine, what we would call Palestine, what we would call Israel. We don't like that word. It was a dark time for freedom and the rights of man. And if it was dark for man, it was surely dark for woman. You gals need to go back and read and just see what it was like to be a woman during those days. You see, most of the redemption and lift that's taking place for women came through Jesus in culture, across cultures in the world. Read your history. I know you've been taught a redacted history that you've had things, but go back and really look at the original stuff and see what it was like. It was a dark time when Jesus came. Herod ruled over that Judea. He was an evil man. He had one God, and that was himself. He did everything to advance his own agenda. The nation of Israel, well, it was fractured. I mean, just one way of looking at it, you look at it in a lot of ways, but you look at the political parties of the Pharisees, the legalists. You look at the liberals of the day, which were the larger part, which were the Sadducees. They didn't believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. Where are you, Donnie? When I need you, son. The Essenes, another super religious group separated from society, and then the Zealots. And the nation was just fracturing. And see, this was perfect for Rome because they could control because of that fracturing. It was a dark time. When it was announced that to Mary that Jesus was going to be born and born of this virgin, well, nobody believed that. And surely nobody was happy about that. Mary and Joseph, they lived approximately 100 miles from where they were going to have to travel as they were going being called because of a tax. They were going to register. And you know what? When the government wants you to register, what does it mean? It means money. They don't want to know where you are because of your health or anything else. That's something that's universal. It's been universally true since the dawn of creation. They want your money. Still true today. They had to take a long, very arduous trip. And think about what was going through their minds. Joseph, he had decided to not put this, he was going to put her away quietly, but then the angel came and that changed. The poverty of Mary and Joseph cast a long shadow on them during that time. Royal lineage. Ha! A king was going to be born from this girl, this teenage girl. You teenage girls here today, just think of this. I mean, she's probably 15, 16 years old. Maybe. And look at all the experiences she's already had. Hostile forces were in place to make sure that even the whisper of a king being born, Herod and his paranoia about being threatened with his kingdom, he and others were to make sure that if this child was born, that child would be dead. Hence, we have the slaying of the innocents there in Bethlehem. But the prophecies were clear. Even though it was a dark time, let's read what Isaiah said in Isaiah 9. We read it on Christmas Eve. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They'll be glad in your presence as the gladness of the harvest, as men rejoice when they divide your spoil. You see, this light was coming. This Messiah was coming that was going to light up the dark place. And a light never shines so brightly as when there is absolute darkness. Think of it. It's into this that Jesus came. Now, just in case you're wondering, you're wondering about some of the things in your life, you're wondering about the things that you go through. There are nations going through. There are worlds going through right now. You take it from your personal experience all the way to the public and out in public domain and world politics and world economics and world history. And you see, there's darkness. We need a Savior. We need someone who will come and shine the light. Yet the light would not come from another source, that Jesus would bring it. The Scripture says, and He says, I am the light of the world. So the light was tied up in His person when He came. It was all about Him. In the dark, hope for a better way is non-existent because you can't see. But once the light comes on, you begin to see things clearly. Luke chapter 1, let me read you the story about Mary, beginning in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Now, put off your existential thought today, and let's put on your practical thought right now, and let's just imagine that an angel walked into your house. Can you wrap your mind around that right now? "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Let me ask you, are those words you would like to hear sent to you from the Lord? "Greetings, you're favored, and the Lord is with you." Aren't those the words you desire from the Lord? What kind of woman must Mary have been? Young woman, chosen by God, picked out by Him. But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. Now, where would you be about this time if the angel shows up and says this to you? You know, your next thought's probably going to be you're out the back window. You know, what you have to do, do quickly, out the back. But she doesn't run. She's pondering it. She's perplexed. What does this mean? The angel said to her, verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you found favor with the Lord." Twice now it's been said she's found favor. "Behold, you will conceive in your womb." Wait a second. Hold bus. Conceive. Culture of the day you couldn't even think about. Children without a husband. Just think of it. "Behold, you'll conceive in your womb, you'll bear a son, and you shall name him Yeshua." Who've they been looking for now for hundreds and hundreds of years? This Messiah, this anointed one, this chosen one, this Yeshua. Every Jewish girl who has come along has the desire of her heart would be that she would be the mother of this child. "He'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." As if by now, if she didn't understand it when he said Jesus, now she knows who he's talking about. He's talking about Messiah. "He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." How could a teenage girl understand all that? Let me ask you, when you come to Jesus, how did you understand all that he did for you? You didn't. You accepted by faith. You believe. Mary said to the angel, now back to the practicality of the situation, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" I'm a virgin. I've not known a man. I don't have a husband. How's this going to be? The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." So even in this statement, you have a statement that he will be the God-man. All God and all man at the same time. And perfect. See, even in this you have the great sweep of the theological statements that we hang in on. People say, well, the virgin birth isn't important. Yes, it is important. Because it's primary to the story. It's primary to the miraculous work of God Himself. Is He's doing something unknown to man. Verse 36. In old, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. And she was called barren, is now in her 6th month. Now, remember, you know, Mary will go on the visit, and we see there that John the Baptizer leaps in the womb. Even at that time, rejoicing at the Son of God. Then verse 37. Here's the kicker. For nothing will be impossible with God. You believe that? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Nothing is impossible with God. The miracles stacked on one another that we just read. When you read that, you think, God can do anything. He could do anything in the darkness of that time. He can do anything in the darkness of this time. That time was talking about the first coming of Jesus. Right now we sit on the precipice of the second coming of Jesus. That's why every time we come to the table, as we did on Christmas Eve, you know, when you do this, you do show forth the Lord Jesus until He comes. So even as we're observing communion, remembering what He had done before, we're looking forward to and expecting His second coming. Do you see the parallelism in this story? Do you see what it says for us today? What speaks to me and to you? There's hope. There's hope for a different way. Verse 38, Mary said, "Behold," South Georgia language, that's, look here now, "the bond slave of the Lord." She's speaking of herself. She's coming in agreement with God. She's saying, "God, I agree. Lord, the message that you have sent through your messenger, Gabriel, I'm in agreement with her. May it be done to me according to your word." Boy, what would happen to our church? What would happen to your family? What would happen to the city of Savannah if we practiced that? May it be done to me according to your word. I say it to you all the time. We've all got good ideas about what ought to be happening in somebody else's life. You get on fire and, oh, let me tell you what you ought to be doing. Hey, listen, if we tended to the knitting at home and just let God do it through us, whew, man, you talk about a preached message. There's power in that. The power, the presence of God. The power of the Holy Spirit. Turn loose in a life, in a family, in a city. Not looking down your self-righteous nose at someone that you believe to be a spiritual inferior, but a life lived out in humility. Here it is from Mary. "I'm your bond slave. I'm at your disposal. Let it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel departed. You see, God's desire was for us to have this wonderful life. A life that's changed. A life that is new. He has chosen you. He's picked you out. He wants to do a work in your life. We need to stop pretending that he's not created us. Which reminds me of a story of someone who got to see what life was like without him.
Courage! Courage! Help me, Clarence! Get me back! Get me back! I don't care what happens to me! Get me back to my wife and kids! Help me, Clarence, please! Please! I want to live again! I want to live again! I want to live again! Please, God, let me live again! Hey, George! George! You all right? Hey, what's the matter?
Now get out of here, Bert, or I'll hit you again. Get out of here.
What the Sam Hill you yelling for, George?
You...
George? Bert, do you know me?
Know you? You kidding? I've been looking all over town trying to find you. I saw your car piled into that tree down there, and I thought maybe you... Hey, your mouth's bleeding. Are you sure you're all right?
What you... My mouth's bleeding, Bert! My mouth's bleeding! Zuzu's pedals! Zuzu! There they are! Bert! What do you know about that? Merry Christmas!
Well, Merry Christmas!
Merry! Merry! Yay! Yay! Hello, Bedford Falls! Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, George!
Merry Christmas, movie house! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old Billy and Lone!
Hey! Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
Happy New Year to you! In jail!
Go on home, they're waiting for you!
Bank examiner?
Mr. Bailey, there's a deficit.
I know, $8,000.
George, I've got a little paper.
I'll bet it's a warrant for my arrest. Isn't it wonderful? I'm going to jail. Merry Christmas, reporters. Where's Mary? Mary? Oh, look at this wonderful old drafty house. Mary? 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 Have you seen my wife?
Mary? 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 Daddy? Daddy? Daddy?
Kids? Pete? Oh, I could eat you up. Where's your mother?
We're looking for you.
With Uncle Billy.
Daddy!
Zuzu, my little ginger snap. How do you feel?
Fine. Not a smidge of temper.
Hallelujah.
Hello. George.
Mary,
darling.
Mary.
George, darling. Where have you been? Oh, George. Mary, George. George.
Let me touch you. Are you real?
George.
Well, you have no idea what's happened to me.
You have no idea what happened. Well, come on, George. Come on downstairs. Quick, we're on the way.
All right.
Come on. Come on in here now. Now you stand right over here by the tree. Right there. And don't move. Don't move.
What's happening?
Come on. Oh, I hear them coming now. George, it's a miracle. It's a miracle.
What's happening?
Who's gonna come, Daddy?
Who, Daddy?
Come in, Uncle Billy. Everybody in here.
George, you better come on. Is everybody ready? Isn't it wonderful? So many friends. Mary did it, George. Mary did it. She told some people you were in trouble. And they scattered all over town collecting money. Didn't ask any questions. Just said, George in trouble. And tell me, you never saw anything like it. Spread like fish.
Another run on the bank?
Here,
George. Merry Christmas.
There we are. The line comes on the right.
Come in, George.
factory all left out of it.
Here's some beer, please.
I wouldn't have a roof over my head if it wasn't for you, George.
Just a minute. Quiet, everybody. Quiet.
Now get this. It's from London.
Oh.
Mr. Gower cabled you need cash. Stop. My office instructed to advance you up to $25,000. Stop. Oh. Hee-haw and Merry Christmas, Sam Wainwright.
In the middle of it, as soon as I got Mary's telegram.
Good idea, Ernie. A toast.
To my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right.
Atta boy, Clarence.
Some of you wonder how you could connect the Virgin Mary and It's a Wonderful Life. All the themes are there. He turns to the Lord. He prays. He cries out. God comes. Evil is lurking. He walks by. And even in walking by, he taunts evil. Evil had no victory over him. See the theme? And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And who does God use? He chooses to use the hands and feet of ordinary people like me and you. We need to be praying like Mary prayed. Lord, let it be unto me according to your word. Let me live out that kind of life. Let me be that kind of person that'll bring hope in the midst of great despair. In this story, George Bailey got to see what life would be without him. God has chosen you. He created you in his own image. And he created you to make a difference in the world. And whatever lie the devil has been whispering in your ear about who you are and what the incarnation is all about, God has become a man and he lives in us. And we have power because of that. We can live a new life, and life can be different, and other people's lives will be different because of it. I want to lead you in prayer and send you out to go practice some Nike theology. Go do it in the name of Jesus. We'd like to get those cards from you today. Is there a basket on that back table? Yeah, there's a basket back there. And there are baskets up here. We'd sure like to get those cards from you if you have an offering to bring. We're still waiting on that. Bobby Forrester said he was going to write that $1 million check that we needed to balance things out this year. But we're still waiting on that. And you got a few days if you'd like to get that in, or any other gifts you have to get in before the end of the year. But we'd like to, especially like to get your cards from you so we can pray with you today. Rick, me, and Dane will be available afterwards if you want to wants to pray with you, okay? One personal word I'd like to say to you. Thank you for your prayers for my father-in-law, Lemmy Wells. He is at Hospice Savannah on Eisenhower. We moved him over there on Christmas Eve. And he's not in any pain right now. But pray with us for God's mercy in his life right now. He told us the day before yesterday, he said, I'm ready. I'm ready to go and be with the Lord. So if you'll pray with us about that today. Let me ask you one. Do you get it? Did this make sense to you today? Well, it did to me. I haven't been able to get It's a Wonderful Life in there anywhere during the Christmas season so far, but right here at the end. Right, Deb? Right, Jingle Bell Lover? All right. Let's pray. Lord, nothing is impossible with you. Lord, let it be unto us according to your word. Now, Lord Jesus, send us out. Send us out in the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus, and the authority of you, Lord, our Father. Amen. Merry Christmas.